Hi, everybody. My name's Gary, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm located in Saint-Catharines, Ontario, which is about 20 miles north of Buffalo. And I've been around for quite a while. Numbers, I've been around since the late 80s. This is my first shot at AA. It seems to be working very well. In fact, I passed 36 years last week. I don't celebrate it every 5 years or something, so it's not a big deal. I always feel really uncomfortable when people are clapping to me for having stopped when I know I have never been able to stop drinking. I tried for 9 months, and I fell for 9 months, and one day I said, "Help me, God," and I haven't had a drink since. So it's hard for me to take any praise for having stopped because I didn't stop. And by coming here and seeing you guys, I stay stopped, you know. So anyway, I used to be a jogger for 20 years, so I write down everything. This is actually tonight, my 89th, this morning, my 8900th meeting. So I love AA. I did 25 meetings in January, and I'll probably do 25 this month too. I love this stuff. I'm retired. I've been retired for seven, almost 8 years. But I went to that many then anyways. You know, I love my community within my community. You know, people usually at my age have gotten their world, watched their world get smaller and smaller and smaller. And I haven't seen a bit of that. I'm with a few of us right now, about 10 of us, who go out for lunch after the meetings in the mornings. And, you know, six of them I didn't know 6 months ago. So I just love this fact that I'm just meeting new people all the time, and it's it really does lift my program up, you know. So anyway, I'll start at the bottom or at the beginning. I'm the third oldest of six. My father was a wheelsman on the Lakers. He was the guy who drove the Laker boats, the big boats, and so I never, and my mom was having kids every 2 years. So I kind of got used to having my own way early on because she couldn't keep an eye on all of us. When I was nine, my dad got off the boats. I think my mom begged him. And so then he was around a lot more. When he was 12, he passed away. So there I am. I'm just six of us. And it was 1965, so it was a very insecure period of my life. It's scary to see the dear old dad leaving when you're 12 years old. Mom didn't hang around much longer. She left when I was 28. So if I could just say this, we're having a heck of a time right now with people dying on us. We've lost seven AA members since the 1st of January. I've been to three funerals in the last week. I've lost three neighbors that I talked to, and I've also lost a wife of a program, an AA program guy from your area, John. You know that, and then a relative of a distant relative. So it's been like 11 people gone. So, but you know what? No matter what we do at AA, the ultimate reality is that people do leave, you know, I've kind of got used to it. My mother had 21 brothers and sisters. So when I was 16, I said, "I am not going to another funeral. I quit." So I quit for about 3 or 4 years. And whole families are gone out of that. Whole families just disappeared. I don't even remember them anymore. They're been gone for so long. But you know what? I didn't come here to talk about death. I come here to talk about my new life. I almost missed my real life. I could have stayed in that drunken fog that I was in. I was in it for 22 years. I started drinking in grade eight. I started smoking in grade five. So you can see I was a handful when I was a kid and drinking when I was in grade eight. By the time I got to high school, I already knew how to drink. And, you know, it was, wasn't a big jump for me. And we were lucky back then because I live about 10 miles or less from the American border at Niagara Falls, so we could drive over there. And I remember I'm 14 years old, and I'm ordering pitchers of beer in a bar called Lido's on the main street in Niagara Falls, New York. And I thought, look at that, I have arrived. I've arrived. Imagine a 14-year-old, your 1-year-old sitting there ordering a pitcher of beer. It was quite an experience. So anyway, my first drunk, I didn't know how tight I was wrapped emotionally until I had my first drunk. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I relaxed. And I thought, whoa, this is way better than what I've been going through. And after that, I drank every week, every Friday night. And I just loved it. I was like a spring that got tighter as the week went by. Come Friday, I go drink. I wake up Saturday and I'm refreshed. So alcohol was a wonderful thing for me. I like to think that alcohol kept me alive long enough to get me here, because I don't know if I could have taken getting tighter and tighter and tighter as life got more complicated in the teen years. So when I was 16, my mom remarried a great guy. Really, what kind of a guy? He was a General Motors employee, and he married a mom who had five kids at home. And who does that? My mom must have been a real looker, right? And he married her on March, and he'd been around for a couple of years, and he was a great guy. The longer I'm away from being a teenager, the more I see that. And but he married her in March, and I'm out the door in June. He's telling me what to do. I'm no longer getting paid for washing the kitchen floor. All that stuff you do when you can take advantage of your mom, eh? So yeah, so I'm out the door. My stepfather had ground me for the rest of the summer, and it was like June 10th, I believe. And I called home late, and he hung up on me, and that was it. My cousin and I, he wanted to leave home too, so we both left home that night. We were really smart because we didn't want the city cops to get us, so we parked and went to sleep right on the other end of the road with where the St. Catherine street sign was. We had it all figured out. When you're 16, you're a pretty smart guy, eh? But anyway, we moved into his 1965 Pontiac Laurentian. It was a lovely little two bedroom. And I thought it would just be a little while. We go get a job, but you know what? Partying took precedence over the job, and we were there for quite a while. I mean, I remember in the winter we would get extra blankets in and all that stuff. And Christmas we'd decorate a little bit, have people over. It was pretty good. Anyway, I had about 10 guys that I partied with all the time. Girls hadn't entered the scene yet. We were too busy getting out of our faces. And around 19 years old, I thought I'd already heard everybody's story 100 times, and they'd already heard mine. And so I went out, believe it or not, and got my own license and got a car. And I had a hotel that I drank in all the time called Hallett's. That was its nickname. It was called the Union House. But don't ever try unionizing it. You'd hear about that. Anyway, that's where we all drank. It was right not far away. And I got kicked out of that place four times. I got banned for like 3 months, 3 months, 6 months, and 6 months. And he told me the next time I'm out permanently. Now, there's nothing worse than being kicked out of your home bar when all your friends are going there to drink and you can't go. But that didn't smarten me up any. But anyway, one day, this friend of mine, we made an arrangement just to go dancing up at a Niagara Falls, Ontario bar. They had a rock bands in there. She brought her girlfriend along, and I started talking to her girlfriend. And I've been talking to her ever since. In November 15th, it's been 50 years that we've known each other, 46 for being married. So yeah, and she's one of us. You can't live with me and not become an alcoholic. I mean, it was my main focus. I used to think that it was just like a secondary in my life. I went around my life and I'd done secondary thing. I'd done my life and then drinking was secondary. The truth of the matter was that alcohol was primary. All of my friends were determined by do you drink? All of my neighbors, all of my bank account, empty as it was, determined everything. If I never had much money. My clothes when I arrived at AA, I had one shirt that didn't have a hole in it or stretched all the heck. And so everything that I circled around with was determined by my alcohol. So alcohol was my primary driver for my whole life up until I got here. So anyway, all the people in my area were so happy that look at that, Gary's finally settling down. Well, what I did was I married my drinking buddy. And it's a good thing because there's not another woman in the world would have put up with me other than one who was willing to join me, you know? So that went on. We thought we were doing great. Altogether, we've had five houses, but in 8 years before I got to AA, we bought a brand new house. And, you know, so life is good. And when I come to AA, I had three vehicles, you know? So I wasn't your, a guy who had nothing and arrived empty. I had just arrived empty mentally, emotionally, and physically. Physically, I had a burn on my head. I worked in a paper mill, Kimberly-Clark paper mill, and I was in the lab and I went and touched the side of the oven that we used for drying paper out to measure it. And I touched the side of it and I put a 1-inch strip right on my wrist right here. And that thing was with me for 2 years. When I sobered up, it went away. So I know now that alcohol diminishes the ability of the body to withstand anything. You know, it never got fixed until I quit drinking, and then my body started doing what it was supposed to do, you know. So yeah. So anyway, I would still be drinking, but somehow everything changed in around 30 years old. Prior to that, my house was the party house. I remember my neighbors saying, "Why do you party in your house? You're going to wreck a perfectly good house." And I looked at my house and they were right. I had cigarette burns and flooring and, you know, stuff like that. They were right. But I had a party at 30 years old that I invited 50 people and everyone come. And that was the last party. I remember ever inviting anybody because after that I started dropping down into negative living, negative thinking, negative everything. You know, it didn't matter what conversation was, I could turn it negative. And then I started having trouble with physically with me. I started like I'd never fallen for the first 20 years of my drinking, and then all of a sudden I'm falling. I'm having to go to the hospital, get patched up, and I was starting to get dangerous. I was starting to think I might not make my next birthday because one of these times I'm going to fall in front of a car and that'll be the end of it. So somewhere along the line, and I don't know why, everything changed. You know, like I say, if it was still good, I'd still be drinking, but it got so bad that I could barely tolerate it. So what happened to me was Super Bowl 1989. I went out that day and started drinking around 1, and by 12 o'clock, I'm out in the parking lot. And this guy's husband is trying to rearrange my dental because we were fooling around, and I went running. We're all running across, and I went running, and I pushed this woman, and she fell. And it was his wife, and I don't blame him one bit. And then myself and my brother left after that. I woke up the next morning, and I'd been having trouble every time I drank. I'd been getting into all kinds of trouble. And through the years, I'd helped send two or three people away trying to save their jobs. And so, you know what? One day it was time to send me away. And I remember looking into the wall in the house and I said, "What a black day this is, the blackest day of my life." You know, what had really happened is I'd finally taken the second part of step one. See, I had tried 9 months later to stop drinking, only to find out I couldn't. So I always tell everybody, "I'm only here because I couldn't stop drinking." And I tried for 9 months to stop drinking, and I couldn't even slow me down. So because I'd only had the first half of the step, I admitted was powerless over stopping alcohol, but I couldn't tie it into my life being unmanageable until that morning after the Super Bowl party. And then even I was aware then that yes, alcohol was ruining my life. And I was a God boy from when I was a little kid. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, really to the wall, I said, God, I'm going to become public now. I'm going to admit I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to go off to Brylin University in Buffalo, New York. Anybody here from Upper New York knows what Brylin is? I love Brylin, and it changed my life. 10 days after, I walked into their intake office in St. Catharines, and they said, you need to come with us. And then I went to work, and they sent me to our counselors, and bang, 8 or 9 days later, I'm off. And I was expecting to get into a van with a bunch of under the bridge people. And you know what? All I seen was reflections of myself. They all looked like me, office workers, homemakers, factory workers, some unemployed, but it was just regular people like me. And I didn't know that. So off I goes. Oh, I know. The day before they got there, I told my wife, "Look, it's been 2 weeks and I haven't had a drink. I think I've got this taken care of." And my wife, who's way smarter than me, she said, "Well, you know what, Gary? Just go down there anyway, just so they can close the file." So I went down there to have them close the file, and they said, "You know, it's not unusual for somebody who has a little bit of success stopping drinking to be under the delusion that it's okay." And you know what? I was certainly under the delusion that it was okay. So off I hop in the van and away I go. And Brylin was a wonderful experience for me. That's a treatment center just across the border. I was downstairs in the bottom before waiting for a bed for upstairs. And I was down there about 4 days, and I read the big book while I was down there, because I'm like that. I'm a kind of details guy. It's kind of like, if I'm going to join AA, I want to read the manual. I want to know what's going on. And boy, I read that book, and I see me all over it. I'm still seeing me all over it. Boy, they could have used my life for a lot of it, because I am there, you know. So anyway, I went upstairs. They interviewed me, and with my first time as a real counselor, and I bawled my eyes out for 10 minutes, because talking to him was the first time I'd ever talked about myself really. And I was overwhelmed with grief from first of all, my mom's death. I had no idea that if I had kept drinking, I would have never gotten over grief, right? But I got over that. And it sounds like a horrible thing, and it was as I went through it. But something wonderful happened after that. Once I got rid of that, it was like a big plug that was stopping all the good things in life, all the good feelings. After that, all of the greater things came out, the better view of the world, the politeness, the kindness, all the good things that had been bottled up for years escaped and joined me in my life, instead of being stamped down by the booze, eh? So and then the greatest thing that happened to me is I was getting out in a week, and I was afraid, because I'm going to go back into the factory. My family, they all drink, everybody drinks. I was afraid, and it was a Tuesday, and I was getting out on Saturday. And I went into a meeting, and they're doing step two. And you know what? Sometime in the middle of that meeting, I got it. All of a sudden, I realized that I don't have to do this myself. I was a God boy when I was a kid. I'd lost it all through drinking. But all of a sudden, it's kind of like I got a connection to a higher power. And it changed everything. When I walked into that meeting, I was afraid. When I walked out of that fr meeting, I was good to go, because my ideas had changed so completely. It's almost like something snapped in here and changed my thinking from on 90 miles an hour that way to 90 miles that way. And it was kind of really cool, because I felt this great sense of calmness and a great sense of everything's going to be fine. And that turned out to be exactly what has happened. And my wife came down to visit me several days later, and she talked to me for about a minute. She said, "What happened to you?" So it was such a personality change, because going from being afraid and getting out and being afraid and going to say, "Okay, what do I got to do?" That's a whole different way of looking at life. And it has turned out to be exactly that. I read a book later that was written about AA, and it's called Not God. And in it says, is one surrender in life enough? And it says, no, it's not. I don't care. I would have come anyway, but it says you can't stay sober on one surrender because there's too much goes on in life. Too many things happen. And that's why I'm, like I say, at 8,900 meetings. So I want to make sure that that monster never gets back in the door, ever, ever. So, yeah. So anyway, my, I've had quite a life of sobriety. I've, after the World Trade Center got hit, there was three of us in three van loads of us went down to New York City to show the flag, just to say, hey, we're with you guys. And while we were at it, we went to Mom's restaurant because one of the guys wanted to meet one of the characters from Friends, Kramer. So we walked in there and they said, we want to meet Kramer. And he says, which one? There's seven of them. We had no idea they had like a whole gang of them up there, right? So then afterwards, we went and had a little nap down at the bottom of where AA's headquarters is. And they came down and woke us up about 9 o'clock and brought us upstairs, gave us the world tour. And just as we were finishing the tour, this woman named Robin says, Gary, would you like to speak? I think, oh my God, speaking at the world headquarters, isn't that something? So I said, yeah. So they told me how to do it. They said, do 20 minutes and then we'll open it up for discussion. And then some people have come from a long ways away. So then have them put up their arms after that. So we did exactly that. It was very good. I got the editor of the Grapevines there and the editor of all of this stuff is all there. It's like going to AA Central. It was marvelous. And it only happens on Fridays. So Friday morning. So that was kind of like one of the high points. And then out of that, I got a chance to chair a meeting at the Toronto Convention. So that was kind of cool too. So I've had quite a life of experience in AA. But what has really helped me, if I had only come to AA to stop drinking, I'd be a dead man because I had things wrong with me up here through the years. That's like I say, I didn't know how tight I was wrapped until I had a drink. Well, once you take the drink away, I'm still tightly wrapped. So I need to find out how to get this thinker of mine working properly. And thank God for you guys and your and the step of Alcoholics Anonymous because it's just been great. I always say the three big steps is 2, 5, and 9. Two is just terrific. I was lucky I had step two before I even got to AA. And to me, it's the heart of the program. Without that, it gets like silly, eh? Without a higher power, you ever read the steps without a higher power? Let me read it to you. Came to believe that my oh yeah, if you don't have a higher power, you're it. Came to believe that I could restore myself to sanity. Or three, made a decision to turn my will and our lives over to the care of myself, as we understood him, or admitted to myself and to others. The exact nature of our wrong, it just gets like silly. It's crazy, isn't it? So I was really lucky to, or fortunate. I don't think lucky. I think I was fortunate to have an open mind about this because boy, it works so much better if you don't want to drink. And I know guys who never got a higher power and they got lots of years, but they want to drink every day, like not enough to run to the hospital. Oh, they just never got over it. Whereas I've actually ran 2 stags with alcohol and everything else for people, and I don't care. I don't care if I'm around booze. I'm part of a dart league and I have people around me here drinking. I could care less. Actually, the people who are drinking could actually be fun because they get a little light and they get a little humorous, and nobody likes humor more than I do. My dry date is January 23rd, and in the Reflections book, it says that the opening line is, "Are we having fun yet?" And that has been the theme of my life. I'm not going to miss anything because I don't drink. You know what? I'm just not. I've been to so many sporting events, and I've been to so many concerts and all kinds of stuff when I got younger. I wasn't always this old. I just want to show you this picture of me when I was 10 years before I got to AA. That's me right beside the lamp. Hey. I like to tell the young guys, that's your future, buddy. Don't be too proud of your hair because it might not be with you too long. So yeah, so anyway, I just love to because all of a sudden, I'm no longer alone. I used to be a very lonely guy. It's hard to spend most of your life inside of your thinking and not be a lonely person. And I was even married with a son. And but the moment I got step two in Brylin that day, I have never spent a moment lonely since. And I've been all over the country and I've been quite often by myself. And I just it's gone. It's gone. I don't go anywhere by myself anymore. So another really big one for me is step five. Okay. I was living a life of secrets. Like I never told things. I never hurt anybody badly, and I never robbed a bank, and I never done anything to any ladies. But I'd done junky stuff, right? Like if you invited me to your house back then and you didn't have a lock on your freezer, it's a good chance you were gonna lose a piece of meat. Or I like to tell the guys in my neighborhood that if you can remember the 70s and you remember losing two or three of your lawn chairs, I owe you some money. So it was that kind of chicken poop stuff that I did. And you know what? It was like I wasn't ever going to tell anybody. So all of a sudden, I go to do a fourth. And oh, yeah, prior to step four, I was the victim. People have been doing everything to me, and I'd done nothing to anybody else, only to find that I had that exactly backwards, like I had many things backwards. I had done many things that I should never have done and treated people horribly. Most of my problems were involving relationships, so that's where most of the recovery for me would take place. And it was just cool to find out who I really am because I lived in fantasy for so long, and I had to write it down because it was fantasy. I with featuring Gary as the hero, finding out who I was, and then doing the fifth step. Holy God, it's almost like I tore down a wall of secrets, and I stepped out in front of it for the first time in my life. I was part of the community, part of the AA community. It was going to take a little further along before I could be part of the whole community out there. But yeah, so all of a sudden I'm walking around. AA says it really good in step five promises. We only read out ever hear about the ninth step promises. I think the ninth step or fifth step promises are the best. But it starts off by saying, after we've done our fifth step, we can look the world in the eye. And I had never been able to look the world in the eye. And I an example of that was if I walked down the street, I always felt like you owned more of the secret, more of the sidewalk than I did. Then all of a sudden, I'm equal. I'm equal with everybody. I've joined the human race as an equal. Holy God, what a change that was in me, So I kind of really like that. And then step nine was the big one. Step nine is the one that integrated me into the world. I had about 8 or 10 people on my list after my sponsor took some of them off. Of course, it would have caused more trouble. But and I always thought if the rest of the world knew me, they wouldn't like me neither because I had this gang, this wall of people who knew me and didn't like me. And I thought, well, the world wouldn't like me neither because I'm these people who know me don't like me. It was easy for me to say, well, everybody would be like that. But I went to do my step nine, and I went first of all to this guy that I'd pushed his wife, and they were so gracious to me. I had about a few months, and they were so gracious to me, and then so were the next ones. And like it says, halfway through, and I believe less than halfway through, I begin to see a new world. It's almost like everything flipped right over. All of a sudden, I didn't have this gang that didn't like me anymore. I'd made peace with them all. And at that time, I joined the community. I joined the community. I became a real member of Alcoholics Anonymous, completely at home in the community. And that was terrific for me, and because it's really paid off for me. I've been all over the place. I like to have humor in my life. I talk to 75% of the people that I talk to in a day, I don't know them, and I am having more fun with them. Most people want to laugh, or they want to have a more humorous view of the world, you know, or you know, you know. So there are people, most people are very happy to run into somebody who's happy. So I have these great experiences in this world that I almost missed my own life. I could have been this guy stuck in this little drunken haze for the rest of my life, like many of my friends. And I was able to get out of it because of you people. That's why I say I'm so glad that when I got here, this wasn't just stopping drinking. This was doing something about how I think. Because that's really where the problem was when, you know, my whole life was. That's why I picked up a drink and got this great result out of it, you know. So yeah, so I love that now. I feel right at home everywhere I go. That's very new for me. I used to walk down the street with things on my mind. I walk down the street now, and I wouldn't say I'm whistling a lot of the time, but most of the time I'm having a good life and looking to see what's next. What's next? In the morning, I always ask my higher. I set a standard for myself that I'm always changing things. I got like you know what I got, but I'm always changing things. In the last 2 or 3 years, I've made some really good changes. When I first got here, there's a book called the 24-Hour a Day book, and I looked at it and I thought, oh, I can't read that. There's too much God in it. Well, you know what? I picked that up about 3, 4 years ago, and it's perfect. It's perfect. Yeah, I've changed. I've changed. The book hasn't changed. I've changed. And I love the stuff in that book that has to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. Holy God. And then I do the reflections too, of course. But in the morning, I always say these days, God, help me to see what I should see and to do what I should do. Because I need direction and I miss. Sometimes I miss things I shouldn't miss. Sometimes people are talking to me about their alcoholism or their drinking or something, and there might be an idea where I'm supposed to maybe say something, you know. And I have to remember I can catch those things. When I was fresh in sobriety, if I talked to you for longer than a minute, you knew I was in AA. Like I told Jim there, I haven't had 5 minutes of anonymity in my life. If it wasn't for me, it was or my wife. When my wife found out I was going to Bryland, she went right down the phone list, told everybody. She was taking away my escape route, eh? So anyway, there you go. I went off to a side thing and forget where I was. Anyway, I like to talk a little bit about what I feel happened to me. Is I feel that one day I was coming on along the shore, and I got thrown out of the boat that I was in. And I'm laying right there on the sand, and there you guys are. And I says, can you guys help me? Because I've lost track of my life and I don't know what I'm doing. And you guys said, get back in your boat, which means get back in your life. And so now I'm in the boat and I'm getting pushed around by the waves because it's right at the shore. And I says, are you trying to kill me or what? This is horrible. They says, well, look down in the bottom of the boat. Do you see anything? I said, yeah, I see a couple of oars. They says, well, those oars are your higher power. If you'd like to get away from all of this turbulence, pick up the oars and start rowing. So I does that and it gets away from the shore and I am getting away from the turbulence. But then I noticed that the water's coming over the front of the boat. And I said, well, what the heck's going on here? And you guys told me, look behind you. And here behind me was all these rocks with these issues on it. The thing I'd done to this one, the thing I'd done to that one, the thing I'd done to that company. He says, you go talk to your higher power and talk to another person. And I did that and they went away. So I gets rowing out again and then the water starts coming over again. I says, I thought you told me if I'd done that, that I could have to stop. They says, yeah, but you haven't changed nothing. You're still doing the same stuff you were doing before. Look behind you. And there's things that I've just done recently to people. They says, you go and do do another fifth step with that, with your person and with your higher power. And when I did that, they went away again and the boat came back up again. So all I had now in the back was these six great big rocks. And these were things that were bad. And it I found out later needed a personal talk with the people. So anyway, I'm getting out. I'm going out. The water's not coming over because I'm not doing what I was doing. And I see this guy coming at me that I'd done something to, and I looks away because that's what I do. I look away. And you guys said, you don't go look away. You go talk to that guy. You go make an amend to that guy. So I went out and I made an amend to that guy. And I looked behind me and the big rock with his name was gone. So I went and got a list. I got all the other, all the next stuff, the other rocks. And I went around and I'd done all of those people. And it was just terrific. And you guys told me in step 10 to keep an eye on the issues. And it might not be the big one that drives you. It might be a bunch of little ones. So keep an eye on the issues and look after them. So, and then in step 11, I goes out there where the older time people are. You know, I've been around for a while and I'm seeing what the guys that have been there for a while, been doing the steps for a while. They got these wonderful oars. They're like 35 feet long, multiple fins, colored, and they just touch them and they go forever. I still got these little shabby ones I had when I picked them up at step two. And they, you guys told me, you know, go and try it, seek out a better relationship with a higher power, and your oars too will grow. And I've been doing that ever since. I've been doing that ever since. I have a great relationship with a higher power. And step 12, you guys said to turn around and help the guy behind you, and I've been doing that too. But I just love my relationship with a higher power. It means everything to me. It gives me a standard to live by. I mean, it's the AA standard, if you ask me, so it's not much different. Yeah, so it's I might be running out gas here. I have lots of stuff. Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. The I just want to go back a little bit in my early drinking. Can you imagine a big spider web with all kinds of hairs coming out of it? It's like when I started to drink, I reached in to the spider web and I got the drink. And I could pull my arm out, no problem at all. And as my drinking sped up, I was two arms in there and I could still pull myself back out. But through the years, I dived right in as my drinking increased. And I'm right in the middle of the spider web. So now, in my last year, I've decided that I want to stop. I can't get out of it. It's like a spider web. And I'm stuck. I cannot get out of it. And I'll tell you the day that I surrendered to a higher power, the web disappeared. It just disappeared. So that's why I have a hard time taking a bow at meetings when they all clap. So I only do every 5 years. Because when they clap to me, I go like that. That's who does it. I can't get myself sober. I tried it already. And I was down in Florida one time with my sponsor there back about 93, 1993. And I was at a meeting, and this guy says, you know what? Last year I was speaking and I was doing everything. I was great, calm. Today, all I want to do is drink. I says, well, what happened to him? I elbowed him. I says, how can that be? How can that be? He says, Gary, he's distanced himself from his higher power and the urge to drink's come back. And you know what? I'll remember that forever because I never want to let the monster in the door. You know, I think that when I got here, I had a black cloud over my head. And as I worked the steps and went to the meetings, the black cloud moved back. And you know what? It's way back there somewhere. And I want to keep it way back there somewhere because, I never want to let it go. That's why, even with my years, I go to meetings a lot because I don't want to. I'm not sure if I would drink after these many years or not, but there is something that I'm very sure I will do. I will become an idiot. I will become the guy who looks for what's wrong in the world instead of what's right. I'll begin to become the person who annoys my wife when I never used to. You know, right now I can deal with difficult people. I will become a guy who cannot deal with difficult people without blowing up. So I don't really have choices. It's a good thing that I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love my friends. I love how it keeps me young because I'm with all these young people all the time. And you know, it's just terrific. I play golf with a bunch of with four or six of my friends, and I play pool every Wednesday afternoon with three other friends. And now there's two tables of us, mostly from my home group. And then on Thursday, I play darts. And if somebody comes along with something else, I'll do that too. You know, my buddy says, you want to live long in this life? keep moving, keep moving. So I really like my life. I appreciate John setting me up for this. I think a trip down memory lane is great for me, and it helps me remember where I come from, and just keep doing what I'm doing. John, thank you. Jim, thank you for the contact information. It was terrific. I was able to find these guys easy. And I'm going to stop with that. Thanks for listening.